Have you ever been in a situation where you just had to show some persistence? Maybe there was something that you needed, and maybe there was a little bit of resistance along the way, but in the process, you were very adamant and very persistent about seeing whatever it was through to the end. In other words, it was something that you were passionate about along the way. Well, today we're going to take a look at yet another one of the miracles of the Messiah out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, and we're going to look about how faith breaks barriers. Grab that Bible, join us in just a moment. I look forward to seeing you. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. So glad to have you on board with us today. I mentioned just a moment ago that we're going to be looking at the scriptures that come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. So if you haven't already, go ahead and turn over to that passage in your Bible. And today we're going to delve into a beautiful story that we find in Matthew chapter 15. Which it demonstrates the boundless nature of faith as well as the healing power of Jesus. Now, this encounter between Jesus and a very determined Canaanite woman teaches us some very, very profound lessons about persistence and humility as well as the breaking of cultural barriers. Would you look with me in our scripture today? It's Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to begin reading at verse 21. It says, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful and thankful for your word which speaks to us. Lord, we know that because we're hearing your word today, there is a message for each and every one of us based exactly where we are. So, Father, I pray that you will help us in all that we say and do to magnify you. But, Lord, we also pray that we will hear what the Spirit wants to teach us today through your word. Lord, as we gather around for these few moments, I confess to you that I am nothing and no one without you. So, Lord, I just pray that you will use me as a vessel to disseminate your word to your children. And that, Father, as we take these times around your word, that we will not only draw closer to you, but we pray that if there's one that doesn't know you today, that today would be the day that they would give their life to you. And Lord, that they would begin living a life that is pleasing in your sight. So, Father, bless the time that we have as only you can. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, as we look at this particular text today, as always, it's good to have a little bit of context to the background of what's going on, particularly in the passages that we're dealing with. Now, the passage begins with Jesus withdrawing to the region of Tyre, or Tyre, depending on how you say that, and Sidon, okay? This is an area, it's kind of unique because this is an area that is predominantly Gentile. All right. This was not by accident. Jesus went there on purpose. And most of the places that he goes has been where there's been a Jewish clientele. So him actually going to these areas marks a very significant departure from his usual focus on the areas that had basically a Jewish population. Now, remember, you know, Jesus in his word says that he came to his own and his own received him not. So, you know, he was there essentially preaching salvation to the Jews. But here is a very intentional, purposeful time that he withdrew himself out of that area, went to an area that was predominantly Gentile. Okay, now some would say, why? Well, I've said before that I believe in divine appointments, and I believe this is a particular divine appointment that we're reading about in the Word of God in our text today. Now, there's this Canaanite woman in our text who approaches Jesus. And when we think about that, that is a representation of a group that's considered outsiders by the Jews. In other words, the Jews and the Canaanites did not get along because the Canaanites were actually considered to be Gentile people. And if you've spent any time in the Word of God at all, you'll realize that the Jews and the Gentiles, you know, just really didn't have a thing for one another. The Jews thought they were above, essentially, the Gentile people. And then even when it came down to salvation, and even when it came down to a relationship with Jesus, the Jews had thought they had cornered the market on that, and that it was for them and for them only. So you can see what kind of a quandary we're finding ourselves in the Scripture today. Jesus is in a Gentile-populated area, and there's this Canaanite woman who's not Jewish who approaches him essentially with a need. So to the Jews, this lady is considered an outsider. Okay, now she comes to Jesus and she does so with a plea. All right, now throughout the time that we've been looking at these miracles, we have always talked about the compassion of Jesus. Now, as I read this, and particularly years ago and even now, I kind of wonder what that particular meeting was like, because this seems like a real departure from the way Jesus usually handled situations that we see about in the miracles. You know, one of the other big things we talked about through these miracles has been the compassion of Jesus. Now, I want you to pay careful attention to this text, because at first, it doesn't really appear that the compassion that we've seen in Jesus is on display in this particular example. So this Canaanite woman comes to Jesus and she has a plea for her daughter's healing. All right. Now, we've also talked about the fact that sometimes desperation causes us to go to to drastic measures. All right. This lady, this Canaanite lady knew and understood the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles and how she would be viewed, particularly in the context of coming to Jesus. But yet her daughter has a problem. And I've often said this, one of the most helpless feelings that you can ever have is when you have children and they're going through something or they're hurting in some area and there's nothing that you can do about it. I mean, most of the parents that I know, probably all of you all that are included in this statement that are viewing today, would do anything that you could possibly do to ease the pain of your child, or you would do whatever it took to see a change in their life that was going to be a positive change. Okay, so this Canaanite lady goes to Jesus with a plea. Remember, she's desperate. A plea for her daughter's healing. And in doing so, by her being a Gentile approaching Christ, who was a Jew, this was crossing some cultural boundaries. And it was also challenging the societal norms of that particular time. Okay, so let's take a peek at what's going on in our particular text. Now, the woman's plea to Jesus is simply this. It starts off with her saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." Now, in that particular approach, she has not asked anything about her daughter yet, but essentially she's realizing that she is kind of crossing some cultural and societal boundaries in even approaching Jesus. So she is asking Jesus to have mercy on her. Now, what is mercy? Mercy means us not getting what we deserve. So the lady understood and knew the position that she was in, as well as the position that Jesus was in. But then she says something very unique. She says, "O Lord, Son of David." Okay? Now, this showcases not only her desperation that her daughter needs healed, but also the fact that she is recognizing who Jesus is and his divine authority to be able to bring about the healing that is needed in her daughter's life. Now, despite her being a Canaanite, she is acknowledging Jesus as the Messiah, okay? Now, that was something that was hard-pressed back in those days. Now, Here's where, to me, sometimes it got a little tricky. This is where it seems to me like it's a departure from how Jesus generally reacted in many of the other miracles that we've been talking about through this series. You know, initially, Jesus seems to ignore this lady. Now, that doesn't sound like the Jesus that you and I know, you know. I don't know whether there was this big pause or whatever. I don't know what the look on his face was because, you know, we don't have any visuals as we read the Bible. But at first, it just seems like Jesus is ignoring her. Now, when he finally does respond to her, his remarks reflect the cultural prejudice that was held by the Jews of that particular day. I mean, you know what? I'm sitting there thinking, if I was this Canaanite woman, I would be shocked when I would hear Jesus say these words. So how was it that Jesus responded? Well, down in verse 24, he responds by saying, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, at that particular moment, you know, there's a couple of things that would probably be going through her mind. I know that there are several things that would be going through our mind. You know, the first thing is going to be, it doesn't sound like he really wants to help us. You know, he is pointing out a cultural prejudice that is prevalent in that day. And many of us would probably sit back and say, well, that don't sound like the Jesus I know. That doesn't sound like, you know, the way that I've heard people talk about him and the compassion that he's had and the things that he has done, you know, for other people. I mean, honestly, it would almost be that if it was you and I, we'd probably sit back and say, well, this guy's a jerk. You know, he doesn't want to have nothing to do with me. Where's the love? Where's the compassion that we've been talking about all along? Notice what he said. Now go back and think about the statement. Jesus' response to her was, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That means the Jewish people. Now, you can reference that in Matthew 15, verse 24. That's our text for today, or in our text for today. So you're sitting back thinking, this is just so uncharacteristic of Jesus. Why would he say something like that? That is just completely out of character for him. Well, we have to understand that this moment when Jesus said this was a test of her faith as well as her persistence, okay? So as we begin to interpret this, these scriptures as we unpack them today, the woman's response to Jesus is a testament to humble faith. And let me go into what it was that Jesus said to her a little bit more in the scripture so that we can put it all back together. Now, in verse 26 is where we get the answer, or what Jesus said to her. Verse 26 says, "But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.'" Again, Jesus comes at her with a statement that just sounds so uncharacteristic. It sounds like it has so little compassion in it. And it would also lead the normal human being to believe that because this is his attitude, he's not going to do anything to help my daughter. Could you imagine the desperation and the despair that must have come into this woman's heart and this particular woman's mind at this time? Now, again, pay careful attention. I'm going to read again what Jesus says, but her answer is very telling as well. But Jesus, in verse 26, once again says, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." That almost sounds insulting. But in verse 27, the woman, it says, "And she said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table.'" I love that statement because it's almost like the Canaanite woman is calling Jesus out on what he's just said based on what's been preached. Okay, yet, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Okay, so you know, she's kind of putting the picture into perspective using the same example that Jesus just gave her. In other words, you know, when you're sitting there thinking about that, he's sitting there saying, you know, if I'm going to feed the dogs, I'm going to feed my favorite dogs, you know, the big dogs, the ones that need it. And I'm not going to worry about these little dogs. And then the lady comes back and says, yeah, you might not be feeding those little dogs, but even the little dogs will partake of the crumbs that fall from when you break into what you're feeding the big dogs. So at least they're getting something. I kind of like what that alludes to. You know, she's basically telling Jesus, you know, I may not get the big piece, but even the little dogs get the crumbs which will fall from the master's table. Now, in her mind, even the crumbs of what Jesus could do would be enough to bring about the healing that was needed in the life of her daughter. So Jesus, seeing her faith and seeing her humility, grants her request and heals her daughter. I love it. I sit back and think that when she came back to Jesus with that comment and with that statement, I could almost see Jesus, you know, in his heart or mind saying, "Well played, Canaanite woman, well played," because she brought up who Jesus was. And remember, this is because she's actually already confessed that he is able, that he is Lord, and that she is coming to him. And Jesus has put her to the test. You know, my question is, how many of us would have walked away at that particular point? How many of us, when Jesus said, "Look, man, I'm not here to help you. I'm here to help them. I'm not going to sit there and give you the good stuff. I'm going to give the good stuff to them." You know, a lot of us would have been sitting back going, "Man, what a jerk. Man, I spent all my time coming here to find Jesus because I felt like he could do, you know, what I needed done in healing my daughter. And this guy's just a first-class jerk. Forget it. I'm just going to walk away." How many times do we walk away from Jesus when we don't hear the answer that we want to hear from him? Now, there's also something else that goes along with this, and it's called persistence. This woman was persistent. Now, you have to be reminded once again that she was there out of desperation. She was there because her daughter needed something that she could not provide. And the faith of this woman said, "Jesus can provide it." So, you know what? He may be a jerk, but I'm going to stay on his back. I am going to be persistent. I'm going to continue with my request. You know, she's already been at his feet. Now, you also have to remember that the text said that as the woman approached Jesus and was hearing this interaction, that his disciples were telling Jesus, "Man, just send her away. She's bothering us. She's following us around. She is persistent." There's that word. And it's like, "Jesus, why don't you just tell her to hit the bricks? Just get on out of here." You know, because in their heart and mind, Jesus had basically said, "I'm not going to help you." But she's like, "Nope, I'm staying here. I am staying with this, and I am going to be persistent." So Jesus sees her faith. First of all, her faith being the fact that Jesus had the ability to heal her daughter that needed healed. And then also, Jesus saw another quality within this Canaanite woman. He saw her humility. You know, she came before him at his feet and worshiped him. He being a Jew, she being a Canaanite, knowing that they didn't get along. And there, once again, are those societal as well as cultural barriers that were put up. She just knocked them down to get into the presence of Jesus. And because of that, because of her faith, because of her humility, and because of her persistence, Jesus grants her request and heals her daughter. Okay? So when we look at this this event that has taken place, there are several key points that we can take away from it. Okay? One of them is that God's grace extends beyond cultural and racial boundaries. You know what? Yeah, he tested that with her a little bit at first to see, you know, how she was going to act or react. God is not above testing you and I today to see where our humility lies. He's not above testing us to see where our faith lies. You know, and yet in this particular case, because of those things, her faith, her the mercy that he showed upon her, her persistence, he extends beyond the cultural and racial boundaries and sees the true faith and the persistence despite the apparent silence or the initial rejection that she felt when she first interacted with Jesus. And then the humility that she had opens the doors to the divine intervention which only Jesus could provide. Think about that for just a moment. Have there been times in your life when maybe you've approached Jesus and you just felt like you just got cut off? You just felt like, "Man, this don't sound like the Jesus that I read and study about. This doesn't sound like the one who is welcoming and crosses the cultural and sociological barriers. It doesn't sound like him. Maybe there's been some times that you've been a little confused as you've gone to him. But my question is, in the midst of your confusion, have you decided to say, hey, look, you know what? Maybe this is the way I'm feeling right now, but I do know that God is able. I know that Jesus is able, and I am going to be persistent. Nothing on this side of eternity is going to stop me from getting into his presence, specifically when it's for somebody else, as we read about in this passage. The Canaanite woman wasn't looking for something for herself. She was looking for something for her daughter, something she couldn't provide for her daughter. Okay? So when we think about these things in our lives today, you know, how do we apply them? How do we make application to what we're learning in this scripture to our lives today? How is it relevant? Well, let me ask you this. How often do we allow barriers, whether they're cultural barriers, whether they are personal barriers, or whether they're societal barriers, how often do we allow them to stand in the way of seeking the Lord's help? You know, maybe it's a situation where you have friends or people that you know that are not believers, and you know that they're going to make fun of you because you're sitting there saying, well, I'm praying for, you know, this person or my child or whoever to be healed, and people look at you and go, oh man, okay, yeah, okay, you keep doing that. How often do we allow those things to stand in the way? How often do we allow the fact that culture today doesn't seem to embrace Christianity or believers? It's pretty much, you know, counterintuitive to what the world teaches today. Are we going to allow that to stand in the way of us getting in the presence of the Lord and asking the Lord for help in situations that we need help in? You see, the Canaanite woman challenges us to break through these limitations, to tear those walls that have been put up around us. Sometimes it's we ourselves who put those barriers up. Sometimes it's society, sometimes it's other people, but those barriers need to be broken through. You know, the Canaanite woman, her story encourages us to approach Jesus with persistent faith and with humility, trusting in his goodness, even when we face initial resistance or silence. Man, I can't tell you how many times in my life, in my ministry, that I've sat down with people when they said, man, I've gone to God, and man, I didn't like what I hear. It was just completely, you know, counterintuitive to everything that I've learned. And it was silence. You know, I went to him with desperation, and I didn't hear a word. I can't tell you the number of people who've said, I don't understand why in the midst of my crisis, the Lord is silent. Well, maybe he's waiting to see what your persistence is like. Maybe he's waiting to see what your faith is like. Do you really believe that he is able? And are you going to be persistent enough to get into the presence of the Father? Man, I'll tell you one of the stories that I love, and it's one of the ones that we've even talked about during our series, but where the man who was crippled had friends who needed to get him into the presence of Jesus to be healed. And there were a lot of barriers that were in the way. You know, as they approached the house, they saw that the house was full. There were people all around the house. And you know, our earthly mind would say, well, you know what, there's no way we're going to be able to get through. We've got him on a stretcher. Man, everybody is pressing together. They all want to hear Jesus. You know, we tried. And then so many times they'll stop right there. But these men were persistent. And they were so persistent that they said, we're going to get our friend in the presence of Jesus. And if you remember the story, they went up onto the roof. They basically cut a hole in the roof, and they let down their crippled friend down into the presence where Jesus was, that he might be healed. How many times are we willing to go that extra mile? How many times are we willing to fight the crowds or cut the holes in the roof to be able to get into the presence of Jesus? Are we persistent, or do we quit easy? Too many times we quit. I've used this statement many times with people that I've counseled with. I said, don't give up. It may have seemed like a long, long time, but about the time that you give up is right about the time when the Lord wants to do that incredible miracle in your life. I still remember sharing with a lady that had been praying for her husband's salvation, not just days, not just weeks, not just months, not just years. She had been praying for decades that her husband would give his heart to Jesus Christ. And there were times that I would encourage her and say, look, don't quit. You need to be persistent. Just like this lady, just like this Canaanite lady, you keep going into the presence of the Father. Even when it's quiet, He hears what you have to say. And because of her persistence, a little later down the road, he turned his life over to Jesus Christ. And he's going to be spending eternity in heaven. And what a blessing that was. Decades and time after time after time of praying, God, save this soul. And finally he did. She was persistent, and she was an example, just like the Canaanite lady in our story today, persistent in getting into the presence of God and having the faith to know that He is able to do that which we ask Him to do. It reminds us that God's grace is available to all who will seek it earnestly. Okay? So the narrative of the Canaanite woman that we've read about in the scripture today and her daughter is not just about a miracle, but it's about the transformative power of faith that transcends all barriers. Okay? Her story calls us to evaluate our own faith journey, and it encourages us to pursue God with a heart full of persistence and humility, knowing that His grace is sufficient for all. So there's your challenge for today. You know, can you evaluate your own faith journey? And as you evaluate your own faith journey, are you still pursuing God with a heart that has persistence, humility, and faith? And are you seeing God's grace? If not, maybe that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach you today. And beginning today, you can head in that direction. And I hope and pray that each and every one of us will. May we have what I call bulldog tenacity. I've always said that about a bulldog, because if a bulldog ever grabs a hold of the seat of your pants, it's very unlikely he's going to let go unless he does it on his own. We need some bulldog persistence and consistency when it comes to seeking our Heavenly Father, particularly as we go to Him. Even when things just sound like, wow, that was not the answer that I expected, you keep going to the Heavenly Father, okay? Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you about what we're going to be studying this week as we prepare to go into our next week's Bible study. But this week, I want you to spend some time once again in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. That's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. Next week, we're going to be looking at our 21st sermon in the series of Miracles of the Messiah. And next week, we're going to be looking at the feeding of the 4,000. Now, just a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the feeding of the 5,000. This is the passage of the feeding of the 4,000, and it's actually found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, specifically beginning at verse 32. It'll go from verse 32 to verse 39. So I pray that you will be read and studied up on that as we gather next week, and that the Holy Spirit will just move in your life in an incredible way. Let me go ahead and close us in a word of prayer. And once again, as always, I thank you for joining us. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we thank you for the story of the Canaanite woman's faith. And Lord, how it teaches us to seek you and to seek you earnestly. Lord, I pray that you will help us to break through the barriers in our lives with faith and persistence. Lord, I pray that you will grant us the humility and the trust in your divine power to meet every need that we have. And Lord, may we too experience your grace and healing just as the woman did in the passage that we have looked at today. So Lord, I do lift this prayer in Jesus' name. And Lord, in Jesus' name we ask this prayer. Amen. Hey folks, listen, thank you again for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. I consider this a personal invitation to come join us for Sunday worship services. Our service time begins at 10:45 a.m. And as always, we do have other opportunities for discipleship. We have Sunday school classes. We have some small groups, men's groups, women's groups, as well as discipleship for the children. We have an Awana program, and we would just love to have you come and worship the Lord with us in spirit and in truth at Central Baptist Church. Again, we're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Any information you need about us, you can get from our website, or you can contact us there. It's on the screen. It's www.oakridgecbc.org. Let me pray that you have a great, great week. I pray that you will look for the divine appointments God has in your life, and that He'll draw you close, and that He'll give you the heart of consistency and persistency, and that your faith will rise above anything you've ever seen before. God bless you. Have a great week.